Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here on this gorgeous September morning. Such beautiful weather. I'm Holly Barreto. I'm part of the Adult Education Committee here at NASA, and I'm really thrilled to have with us today Jess and Arundel Clark. They are going to share with us their experience about starting a ministry called Joyful Noise at their congregation. I just want to let you know a little bit more about Jess and Arundel. They grew up in North Jersey and met at a Lutheran camp. Jessica is a special education teacher, and Arundel is a computer engineer. And he is also the vice president of the New Jersey Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of in America, the ELCA. They have always been connected to the special needs community through camp, school, and Special Olympics. They have two children, Morgan, 13, and Jaden, 10, who are here with us today. Jaden has autism and is an athlete for Special Olympics. Morgan is a student at PDS and an advocate for adults and children with disabilities. They are a very active family in the community and at church. We'll start off with some prayer before Jess and Arundel take over, if you'll join me in prayer. Gracious God, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the Clark family and their generosity in sharing their experience. Be with us here this morning. Open our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. So I'm Jess, and oh, you have to turn on your mic.
And I'm Arundel.
So today we're going to talk to you about our service that we do for our special needs community, and that's our Joyful Noise service, and kind of how we got started in how we continue to do this ministry. So the Clark family, this is us. So as Holly already told you, my husband and I met at camp, at a Lutheran camp, and we dated kind of all through the rest of high school and college, and then we got married. I got a job down here in Princeton at Eden Autism Services, and my husband got a job in New York City. So we decided to move down here so it was closer. And we worked at, in the summers we worked at camp, and during the year we worked at our respective jobs. We had Morgan, and she was the love of our life, and still is. And she, she rocked our world, right? So we did everything, but we needed to find a church. So we found Resurrection Lutheran in Hamilton Square, and we started raising her there. I was Catholic previously, so we decided to become Lutheran full-time. I converted, and it was great. And we kind of moved through our, joined every ministry we could and really were involved, and then we had Jaden, and Jaden kind of rocked our world a little bit. He was born on time, but he had he stopped breathing 3 days after he was born, and so we he later on we found out that was one of the causes for his autism, and so we worked on getting him early intervention, and because I was a special ed teacher, we kind of knew what was happening. And but the one piece that was missing was our church piece. He got a little older, and he got a little bit more rambunctious, and he couldn't sit through church. So we continued to see, we would go to church, but sometimes it wouldn't work out, and so we would have to leave. And so that is kind of, do you want to add anything?
We had a turning
point.
So our turning point with church was we would bring things like distractors or activities, most things that would you bring for a child just to help them get through the service as they would adapt. And then our turning point was, you know, he did what he did was feeling comfortable, and his main thing was he didn't like the pews. The floor was much more comfortable. All right, well, he's sitting through the service. This is what's going on in our mind. If he prefers to sit on the floor and listen to the service, then okay. Well, some of our other lay members didn't feel that was appropriate because that wasn't the conformed thing to do. And they had made comments behind us in the pews that we were able to easily overhear. We were disheartened by that, and that was the moment that we had stopped really going to church as a full family. It would be maybe two of us at a time, but it was really, we ended up pulling Jaden out of that whole process because we didn't know what to do at that point. So before we continue, I'll just, as our segue, I'm going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one, and as many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would there be a sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would there be a sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body.
So at this point, I'm going to show you a little video about our service. I just need to figure out how to X out of here. Arndt, can you help me out?
Escape key.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yes, same church that...
The Lutheran church you mentioned before where the people in the pews talk to you.
Yes, yes. Okay. No, I can't find it. So this is my daughter speaking about joyful noise. Why isn't it working? Oh, there we go.
Way, way back. We were sitting in church, and my brother was little, so he wasn't as verbal as he is now. He was just starting to talk, and so he was making all his noises and stimming. And we noticed that this woman and her kid in front of us were making fun of him.
They can't hear it.
And saying really mean things. My mom got really upset, and so did I. So we got up and left. So after that, we found a church in Hillsboro, New Jersey, called Faith Lutheran, that had a joyful noise service. We all loved it, but it was quite a long drive to the church, and my brother and I didn't enjoy waking up at 6 a.m. to drive all the way there, then all the way back. So my mom decided to start a joyful noise service at our church, so it was also accessible to the people in our community, and it benefited us greatly. It wasn't exactly the same as the other joyful noise service because we didn't have as much space as they did, but we were able to adapt it and add our own ideas. Our pastor made a prayer rope that the kids loved, and it made it very interactive. And we're planning to start that up at our new church after COVID. Because of COVID, we haven't been able to do as much interactive stuff as before, but I believe that you can always find a way for things to work if you try really hard.
So what is Sorry, we're trying to have, so that people have a visual. All right, so what is a sensory worship service? So as you heard Morgan speak, our joyful noise service is a service that helps our families fit in. It's a place where they could feel part of something. It makes the church come all together. It makes them, you know, feel like the ministry is not only of that service for a half an hour, but that it is a ministry and a service for the whole church. A place that everyone feels welcome, and a place of no judgment. And that was our biggest reason for starting this, was that there was no judgment. The kids could just make noise, and it didn't matter. So those are some pictures of our service. Who was the service geared towards? Anyone that needed a place to worship without judgment. Families that had young children, families that had individuals with special needs, and individuals with medical conditions that don't allow them to go to worship in quiet spaces. So this is a big thing. We have some families, some in our old church, they used to talk about, you know, people that might be suffering from medical conditions where they could speak out for no reason. Like, Joyful Noise would be a place where they could come and worship and never feel like they were going to be judged for speaking out throughout the service. They could make as much noise, just like our children, but they could be adults as well. We have someone that would have, like, Tourette's, something like that, or even older members that might have reasons to be speaking out during the service. What does this service look like? So there's sensory spaces. There's flexible seating, and I mean that, like, we used to have, like, lots of bean bags and stuff. We used to rearrange our sanctuaries completely so that kids could be moving around. A modified service. So it's still the service, but we would have it only for 30 minutes. Sometimes our attention span isn't that great, and having a really long sermon doesn't fit everybody's. And, you know, the kids won't be moving around. But it was also for the family. So it wasn't only geared for our kids. So it wasn't a children's service. And that's what we wanted to make sure that we talked about, that it wasn't a children's service. It was actually the service that parents would be going to. So they still should hear a message, a real message. And it shouldn't be geared just to the kids. Most of our pastors will talk to the adults. The kids are still interacting. And like our pastor this that we are in our new church, he talks to the kids. It's a very interactive sermon. He's always talking to us and the kids about the lesson. Room to get up and move around. We always, in our faith, we always had communion in this service. And modified bulletins for the people that can't read or communicate differently. And this is kind of an example of what a Lutheran service looks like. But this is our bulletin for our Joyful Noise service. We have a regular bulletin as well. Like, so we have both. But here's our sermons, we always say, should be 5 to 7 minutes, no longer. And then our big, big thing that Morgan talked about was our prayer rope. Our prayer rope is how we say the Lord's Prayer. And the big thing is, kids, you know, sometimes when we say the Lord's Prayer, before COVID times, we used to hold hands, right? So kids don't like to be touched, and some people don't like to be touched. So this would be a way that we could all be connected, and it actually ended up being really nice, because even with COVID, we could all be connected without touching each other, but it had some sort of sensory in it, and this was the way that we did. And I did bring the prayer rope, and so at the end of our time together, I will bring it out, and maybe we could say the Lord's Prayer together. And then, is there anything else that you wanted to add about our Joyful Noise service?
So prior to COVID, we were expanding in the sense that we were promoting what we were doing. And it got to the point that I was reaching out to other denominations as well as our own denomination. So we had a lot of visitors come in. Some just wanted to come in and observe and see what they wanted to do. Some came in with a bunch of questions. But it ended up becoming its own community in a sense that it wasn't pulling people from their own congregations, from their own denomination, but it was a place where some families would be like, oh, I can still be part of my church, yet here's a other option that we also have available to us where we can all just go in and not be judged. We can be ourselves. If our kids feel comfortable being bean bags and have some instruments to shake around, we can do that, and everyone understands what everyone else is going through, so it's okay. After COVID, we're kind of in the process of restarting, but you'll see in the video what that process was like.
So Princeton Seminary has asked us to be an active part in their Brain Forest curriculum, and which is for a curriculum for churches that are looking to start disability ministries throughout, you know, the Presbyterian churches, mostly because they're affiliated with Princeton Seminary, but for all churches. And so they did a video of our service. And so they did, and you'll hear myself, you'll hear Erin, who you guys heard last week, my daughter, talking about our services. So it's just a 2-minute video, but, and then after that we can talk, you guys can ask questions about everything.
Joyful Noise is an inclusive service targeted to families of special needs to provide them with a space in which entire families, regardless of their dynamics, can go and worship together.
It is a service with what we call no boundaries. It's the same service that you would see on a Sunday, only the kids can wander around. Families will still get the same thing out of it. But they will be able to not worry and be in a safe space for them.
When we say the Lord's Prayer and we hold onto a rope, I feel like it makes me feel more connected with everybody, because not only is the rope really soft, but it also shows that, like, we're all connected by God.
I've been a pastor for 37 years, but I'm always learning, and the worship experience has humbled me. You know, all are welcome, you know, we always hear that. How this has changed is, okay, all are welcome, but how do you live that out? And I'm learning how to live that out. Just open to when these opportunities arise to say yes, and to hear the Spirit's call in that.
In this Joyful Noise service, children were participating in serving communion. And then those kids started actually participating and engaging more in the typical worship service, and then changing that space, not only for the better in terms of seeing children or disabled children lead, but also opening up that space and figuring out, like, what do we need to support those kids, right? Whether they be neurodivergent or disabled, to lead in this space. When we create those spaces, that blesses the church as a whole, and that invites communities that are struggling to be inclusive to learn how to do it better.
You're providing a way to welcome people in a way that's more than just simply opening the doors.
One of the families came up to me and said, Joyful Noise and Special Needs Ministry has been the best thing for my family. My son loves to come to church. He prays about Joyful Noise every night when we say prayers. And that just right there tells you that this is an important ministry. So before we ask questions, could we do the prayer rope? All right. So we brought our prayer rope. So, so I don't know if we wanted to all come to the front or, yeah, come to the front as you're able. And, oh, come. All right. All right. And we could start. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. So it's a pretty cool experience, right? All right.
Well, thank you, everyone. As you take your seats again, we do have lots of time for questions. So if you have a question, just raise your hand, and I'll pop over to you with the microphone. Carol Wareheim, I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you.
And I'll take it. So the first thing on your list was sensory spaces.
Yes.
I'd like you to describe what that means.
Sensory spaces. So we, in our current church. Oh, sorry, Prince of Peace. That was the video. So Prince of Peace. No, that one is in Princeton Junction.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So in our current church, our sensory spaces are within our church, in our sanctuary. So there is an area where there's lots of bean bags and tons of toys and fidget toys and stuff. In our, so fidget toys are like trinkets, like I'm trying to think, like squishy balls
or a spinner,
like the little
or something that's clicky, like a pen. That would be what a fidget would be, except it could be of any shape.
In the video, you saw my son. He was playing with like a big rolling
rain stick.
So those are things that sometimes they have instruments, that kind of stuff. So we did in our previous church where we started, and even the first church that we ever saw Joyful Noise, they had an actual space where kids could go if it was too loud in that room. We also did a VBS geared for kids with disabilities. It was just for kids. It was called It's My Turn. When we called it that, because one day a child came to us and said, when is it my turn to have a VBS? Because I have school in the morning and I can't do VBS. And so we started an It's My Turn in the afternoon after their school ended. And so we called it It's My Turn VBS. And we used to have a space, a sensory room, perhaps, lots of rugs, lots of beanbags, lots of stuff that they could just go in there, noise-canceling headphones. And those spaces are available in our current church, but we don't have it set up in that same way because we feel that our church is big enough, our sanctuary is big enough that they can have that space in within that that sanctuary.
Do those items stay in the sanctuary throughout the week, or do you have to bring them in and out every time?
So here's a funny thing, you asked that. So when we first started Joyful Noise at our previous church, yes, it was everything is brought out and everything is put away. So there's no sign of anything. In our church currently, our pastor was like, why do we keep putting these things away? Kids come to church all the time, not just once a month. Let's just leave them out. So we did put them away during the summer just because it was just summer services are crazy and we don't know how many people are going to be there or not. And he was on vacation a lot. So those weren't there, but during the year, they stay out in the sanctuary in the back. So parents have access to them
whenever they want. It became a part of the main service at that point.
Yeah.
Probably hear me anyway. Pardon me?
Catching it for the recording.
I'm interested in asking about your program at PDS. Is that something that is connected to the church, or am I wrong in what I'm understanding?
At Princeton Seminary.
No, I thought you
Morgan's
day
presentations.
School. Oh no! So the presentation was done for the seminary. Okay. It was done for the seminary. The presentation that you saw.
No, yes, but I thought I heard you say previously that Morgan was doing something at the school.
Oh,
that's
she goes
correct.
To school.
So
she goes to school there.
She does something. She did do a presentation for the school, but on her own, through her own initiative, she wanted to do presentations for various groups about families with special needs, siblings. So she talked to fathers with kids who were just newly diagnosed. She had went to Rider University for that. She would talk to clergy groups. And talking about, yes, it's very important that you give attention to those with special needs as you help integrate, but don't forget that you have other kids too. Make them part of the process. And that was her whole presentation that she had put together and designed herself and presented to various groups.
Is that answer your question?
Yes. So I didn't know whether it was something that she did permanently at school or the presentation was about this.
Oh, no, she, yeah.
I really appreciate how over and over in the presentation we see that it goes beyond welcome to celebration, of celebrating the gifts that every person, every child is bringing to the community. And I'm wondering, in that space of celebration, what things have you learned about God from the children with special needs or the adults with disabilities?
So I will tell you a story. And at the end, you heard about the little boy that prays every night for Joyful Noise. Well, when we started with that family coming to Resurrection, he used to come to Resurrection, he couldn't even walk into the church without having a tantrum. So he would walk into the church and fall out, scream, cry, and his mom's like, I'm never going to get him to church. And we were like, try it. Try just walking in for 5 minutes. And she said, I grew up Catholic. I really feel passionate about church, and I really, really want him to do his first communion. He's like almost in fifth grade, and he still hasn't done his first communion. So I said, so they started doing stuff with us at the church, and we worked just walking in. Now he's almost 14 years old, and he is the kid who sits in the front pew. And he participates more than any other child I've ever seen participate. So I feel that there I see God all the time with him, because he couldn't even stand the music because it was too much for him. And it was too much to walk into the sanctuary and have so many people talk to him. And it was too much. Now he goes over and he's like, good morning to every single person in that church. And, I think he's very, very much more an extrovert, than he was. And he's so comfortable. And I do believe that comes from, one, God just putting him in our lives, but also because of just everybody being so comfortable with him. And so when we switch churches, they switch churches. So they're in our current church now. And I think in the beginning, everybody was kind of like, oh, because he was comfortable right away. And now he's just, everybody's like, where's Brody? Where is he? And he's sitting right in the front, singing his little heart out. And they come every single Sunday. They don't only come to Joyful Noise. They come every single Sunday. And that's the point, is that Joyful Noise should be all the time, but that we have this special service, yes, for one time a month, that they could be who they want to be, but it's to encourage families to see and to congregation members to see that we can do this all the time. It doesn't have to just be at 1 o'clock every third Sunday. At least that's what it is for us.
In extension to that, so the way I always described joyful noises, like for families with special needs, families were people who were isolated amongst the crowd. And that's a horrible feeling when you have all people around you, yet no one can see you. So you kind of felt alone. And joyful noise is another way to find out that you're not alone. Other people go through what you're going through, and they understand. And they're willing to walk with you through that journey and through those steps. So you find out, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And this is what that means. So yes, we got from those steps of just getting into the building to finally becoming integrated within the service. That child also participates in various points with lighting the candles.
He's acolyting now.
Acolyting, yeah.
Serving in church. He's going to our youth gathering in the summer, which is a big deal. His mom never thought that would even be a possibility. So it's a great thing. We have a current adult right now going through the same thing, where he only comes into our narthex. He does not go into the sanctuary, but right before the summer, he actually went into communion, and his mom was crying. I think our pastor was crying. We were all like, yay, you know. So it's those celebrations where we see God helping families that never thought that they could have a faith community.
I'm trying to understand your trajectory or your history. You started at Resurrection, mm-hmm. and you started Joyful Noise at Resurrection. Mm-hmm. What made you go to Prince of Peace, number one, wait, and number two, do they still do Joyful Noise at Resurrection?
So during the pandemic, so my husband is the VP of the Synod. So during the pandemic, we decided that Resurrection was just not a good fit for our family. Not anything bad. It was just we felt that we needed some other people that viewed things differently than like us. And so we moved to Prince of Peace. Resurrection does not currently do a Joyful Noise. They have a new pastor.
They went through a lot of transition.
They have gone through a lot of transition, and in that transition we had left. So I think they are trying to start it up again is what I've heard. They have all the resources because we left them there. And the first church that ever did it in Hillsboro, they also went through the same thing. The pastor left, and once he left, the service stopped. And so, which is hard because that community was really, really big when we started going there. So when we started it at Prince of Peace, before we even started it, I said, it cannot lose. If the Clarks leave, it has to continue. And so we put some steps in so that there's other ownership in there, not just of the Clarks. Because sometimes we do, because of what he does, we could potentially move churches. So that's a little harder to start putting these things in and our community really loving it and then us kind of upping and leaving. And it's not of anybody's fault. But yes, so there is more dedication and
ownership.
Yeah, ownership. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Holly. We see adults in the video that you showed. Mm-hmm. My assumption was that they were relatives or the people responsible for the children that are there. You talked before about an adult who was autistic. Joyful Noise, at least in this church, implies younger people. So do you welcome adults with special needs as well as children? Or is the target audience pretty much just children? And then, do you envision people aging out of this? I'm just trying to get a handle on that issue.
Yeah. So that's a great question. So everybody's welcome. So adults, children, it is not geared to just children. We do things like, we do things that are consistent every week. So we do the prayer rope every week. We do Jesus Loves Me in the beginning. So yes, we do have some adult people that come with special needs. We have group homes that come with their whole group home. So those are all adults. We have, and so the adults that you saw there, those are congregation members because they're very invested. A lot of them come to our, they'll come to the morning service and then they'll come to our 1 o'clock service for Joyful Noise, just for, because they want to be around the kids and adults, and they help with like coffee hour after. We do like a little fellowship after. So like they want to be involved because they want to learn and how to help, or maybe just do connections. It's more about the connections. And because it's a ministry of our church, it's always good to have people from our church there, not just the clerks and their children. So.
And then special needs doesn't age out, so the people wouldn't age out.
Yeah, oh yeah, sorry.
That's the easiest way to answer that.
Yeah.
So. What are some of the blessings that you've heard from the church members, and also what are some of the challenges that you face that you, maybe things that you shouldn't do? You
know? Right. So some of the blessings is everybody's like, there's more kids in church, right? Everybody wants more kids in church. That's great. Some of the things that I've heard, and it's about educating, really. It's not about anybody being at fault, right? Because the church is changing, right? So we think about church, how we all grew up, where we sat in the pew, you didn't say a word, you stayed quiet, you listened, and then you laughed quietly. Well, that doesn't happen in, obviously, our kids are told to speak up, they're told to ask questions and all this stuff. So the world is changing, so as a church, we're changing as well. So some of the things that we have heard is, well, don't we have a service for the kids? And so we've just had to educate and say, well, yes, we do have a specific service for those, for kids with disabilities, for all kids, like family friendly. But we want them to come to regular church as well. So it's just, so those are the things that sometimes you hear muttering about, and we just have to educate and say, well, we want more kids because our church is going to die if we don't have our kids be a part of our church and be a part of our communities, and, you know, really be an active person in there. So we have heard that. I haven't heard it as much in our current church as I did in our older church.
And then one blessing I always love telling about, because it was through a big mistake we made, but we learned from that mistake, and we wouldn't have had that opportunity if people didn't speak up. We had canceled, it was either an Easter or a Christmas service.
It fell on that third Sunday, but it was a lot for a pastor. You know, they're doing like 700 things on Christmas. It was an Easter service. And we canceled the Joyful Noise service.
So we broke our consistency of what we said we would do.
And we had families come to us and say, you guys canceled our service. What happened? And we had to say, we're really sorry that that happened. We were hoping that you would come to our regular services. It was open to everybody. They're like, yeah, but we should have had our service. So it really hurt them. And so the following year, we did that service. That was like the first service. We planned, we made sure it was in our calendar, and we actually, it didn't end up landing on that third Sunday. But our pastor at the time was like, no. They told us last year that they felt excluded. So we ended up doing a Joyful Noise Christmas service and a Joyful Noise Easter service.
Right. So in most situations, people would not have told us, they would just not shown up. So that could have been something that would have fallen apart. So it was a blessing that people were at least able to give us our feedback so we can learn from our mistake, own up to our mistake, and make the corrections needed.
Thank you for a wonderful presentation. This has been really exciting to be here to hear you. Can you say more about the steps you took in the process to ensure that Joyful Noise continues?
Yes. So we actually had an interest meeting prior to us saying that we were going to do it again. Everybody, when we walked into this new church, was like, "You going to start Joyful Noise here? Are you going to start?" Like, it was like right away. And I was like, whoa, we just joined. And it's in the middle of the pandemic, so probably not until things calm down. But when we actually started really talking about it, I will say I had a pit in my stomach, like, you know, am I ready to take this commitment hard on again? And when we got there, we had like an interest meeting. I was just like, I want to see who comes, right? Who's interested in helping us with this ministry? Because it can't just be the clerks. And so we sat there and there was like 20 people in that room. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. Okay, this is actually going to work. And so we do. We have a good committee. And so if we were to be taken out of that committee, I always plan my life around that third Sunday, making sure that I'm always there that third Sunday. Well, last year, I couldn't be. I had to do a speaking engagement somewhere else, and I couldn't be there. He was doing something. We were just not going to be there. And it went fine without us there. So that told me that it's sustainable for them, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be about the clerks.
Can you speak to what extent children without special needs are involved in this and supportive of it?
Yes. So a lot of our children, so a lot of our siblings are always asked if they want to be a part of the service, right? Our siblings that could read and stuff like that. We also have our special needs children read as well. Like Jaden read our last service in right before the summer. But we tell, like, our confirmation kids, do you want to be part of this? Like, do you want to own up to it? We have kids that are like the assistant to the pastor, so it doesn't have to be an adult. We give them more ownership because we can in that service because it's less strict, right? There's less stuff. So we try to encourage them. I had kids at Resurrection. We used to have a lot of kids there, and I was the youth leader there. They would be like signing up, like, can I read at Joyful Noise this week? Or can I acolyte? Or can I do this? Can I do that? Can I be an assistant to the pastor? Which means they get to hold the wine, which is a huge thing for them. So that's like all these things. So we do involve our other children that don't have special needs in any way that they want to be involved.
So they're pulling their families in because they want to be part of the service, and they get to start at an earlier age engaging in the roles of the church than other than when they're becoming acolyte and kind of playing catch up on learning the operations of the church and what makes a service.
We have a teenager. He's a junior in high school who he was maybe 7 when we started Joyful Noise, and he helped us all the time. And now he's going to the Youth Summit in Chicago in 3 weeks. And we're all going to, and he's so excited, but I don't think he would have been so, and he's also the youth representative for our Synod Council. But because he had those foundations, and he always talks about, my favorite part of church was Joyful Noise, was being able to be part of that service. So, and he's typical. He's not special needs.
I think that wraps up our time here together. Thank you so much to the Clark family for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, this is true. It's been such a gift to hear about your ministry. So this is the second of our 3-part series. Please join us next week. We will have Stephen Fowler, who has been a chaplain, a hospital chaplain for many, many years, come and speak with us. Is the mic working? Yes, he is also someone who has
So he's going to speak with us about being a minister with a disability. So please come back and join us for that. Thank you again.